This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again this time on Old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. We got to get a getting. We're bringing these folks some studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and I believe folks are enjoying it. Folks are writing, telling me they appreciate these messages, and I'm happy. Me and Old Dan and I are happy this morning. But we're looking now at this study in Hebrews 11, and we've been reading a few of the verses there. Before we get started, last time we came down to verse 24 there, and it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. But we're looking at these studies in Hebrews, and the Lord is blessing them. And we're looking there in our last study how that many of our folks were tortured, the old divines back there in those years. And we've given you a little idea of what torture meant. It means that they were placed on a rack there, they called them, and their arms and legs were pulled out of their sockets because they would not recant. They wouldn't recant. No, and we can't, can we? We can't recant. But listen. It meant something to be a Christian in those days. What about today? It meant something to be baptized in those days. It meant to be baptized. It meant that you crowned Christ Jesus, Lord, Lord. Listen, you talk about all of this flimsy stuff we have today, preached around here and all of those, just trust Jesus, just trust Jesus. I asked you, does the Lord command your life? Does he rule your life? Is he the ruler? Do you bow to him as Lord? Because the saviorship of Christ is tied up in the lordship of Christ. Listen, you can't know him as Savior until you know him as Lord. And that's what baptism meant to those early disciples back there. And brother, that's the reason they knew that when they were baptized, if they escaped death, it would be a miracle. It would be a miracle if they escaped death. And not many of them did, my friend. No, not many of them escaped death. Baptism to them and to the world meant that they crowned Christ Lord. Lord instead of Caesar. Now, you listen again. The real test here was what did the saints of God prize mostly? Did they prize the present comfort of their bodies or the eternal interest or the interest of their soul? Every individual faces that one question. Let me ask you a question. Which do you esteem more highly? Your body, the pleasures of sin? Oh, I believe the Bible says in one place, fear not them which kill the body, but not as they not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's Matthew 10:28. If you go there and read it, listen, which do you esteem greatly, your body or your soul? Now, your actions will supply the answer. It will. Your actions will supply the answer. Now, they had privilege of speaking. They made their choice. They would not accept. These that we saw would not accept. They would not accept deliverance. They wouldn't. They wouldn't accept deliverance because they were bound and determined to serve the Lord. Now, there's a battle line drawn today, and you listen. You sit up there and listen. Perk up your ears and listen. That's being fought in every one of the places where we go, have our mission places preaching. It's being fought out everywhere the gospel is going. And all of those things. But listen, individuals are facing this truth in mission places, wherever we have the gospel going out. But listen, if you get away from that old trailblazer, you get saved. We'll get away from this, get away from that. No, no, no. One of the first statements that folks make there in the church where we was holding a meeting says, I want everybody to know I have, listen, folks call right in here and they say, well, I wouldn't have nothing to do with that old trailblazer. My folks, I don't want you to have anything to do with that old trailblazer. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't care for this gospel, just get out. We have folks who used to support the work, and they got a chip on the shoulder or a burr under the saddle, and the pastor said something that offended them. You know, folks, did you know the message is offensive? It is. This message is offensive. Why? Because it says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, my friend, I can't help. I'm not responsible for your ignorance. No. If you don't believe God's word, I tell you one thing. If you don't believe God's word, you never will get saved. Now, you can just put that down in your pipe and smoke it. Because if you don't believe God's word, you'll never get saved. Yes. And I've had folks give me a cussing from one end to the other. And I didn't know that folks had such a language. And I told a man, I thought you was a deacon. He said, I am. But doesn't the scripture say he that hateth his brother is a murderer? Well, you're not my brother, he said. Well, I may not be because I know the Lord. And the way you're getting, acting it, and doesn't know the Lord, I'm not your brother. So go on, go on. And I'm not compromising my friend with anyone. You say, well, you're going to run off all your good givers. Well, let them go. Just let them go. Listen. Now, why would they not accept deliverance? Why would they not accept that they might obtain a better resurrection? Oh, listen. The first thought there is that they could receive a resurrection from reproach to honor, from poverty to riches, from pain to pleasure. In the second place, now listen, in the second place, they look beyond this life. So I asked you, old Trailblazer listener, are you looking beyond this life? Or are you just looking for what's around the next curve? Are you just looking for the next good meal or a happy feeling? What's in your future? The Bible says we don't hope as those who have no hope. No, we don't sorrow as for those who have no hope. We have much sorrow in our lives, but we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Our hope is in Christ. What is your hope, my friend? I conduct many funerals. I tell you that a lot. And I don't go there with doom and gloom, no. But I do ask folks, are you saved? And then I tell folks of the hope that's in the life to come. The resurrection day is coming. Listen. They withstood that torture because they knew by faith they suffered as Christians that they might be in the first resurrection. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. That's 2 Timothy 2:12. Praise the Lord. Can you just praise the Lord? You have a praise the Lord. Listen, go ahead, brother. Kill this body if you want to. Put it to death. But through the torture, through the death, I'll be raised from the dead. I'll reign with the Lord forevermore and evermore. And you can't treat this body with any more scorn and torture than the world has done to my blessed Lord there on Calvary. Oh, my friend, do you ever think about that? How the Lord was tortured and scorned throughout all the ages, and through those days of his crucifixion there. First off, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sat there, and they said, Lord, Father, if this cup could pass from me, let it be. But if it's not thy will, don't let it pass. Just let it be thy will. And then he went over to Pilate's court, and he was scorned there, and they plucked his beard out. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They scourged his back. And they called him Hail, King of the Jews. And then Peter denied him three times there within just a few minutes. And then they carried him to the cross, my friend, and nailed his body. The Lord had a physical body just exactly like you have, my friend, except it did not have sin. No, he had no sin. But when the soldier pierced his side, out ran blood and water. Oh, but listen. And some of the others, the scripture said, had trials of cruel mockings and scourging, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. Others had cruel mockings. That's what they did to the Lord. Is a sneer and unkind words that we have to endure today coming from our enemies? Or they're not worthy to be compared with the sufferings which many of our old forefathers, the pilgrims, endured. While these Christians were in the rack being tortured, they were mocked and laughed at and ridiculed. They were offered deliverances, but they could not accept it. Now, where is God? He said he'd deliver you. You've been claiming he'd deliver you. Now, where is he at now? Call on him now. Where is he at now? But listen. Oh, listen. Where is your God? Where is your God now? Why don't he deliver you? And that's what one of the thieves on the cross said. If he be God, let him come down, save himself and save us. I like the story there, don't you? Both of them railed on him. They both railed on him. And after a while, one of them told the other one, said, this man has done nothing amiss. You and I deserve our punishment. What happened during that time? The Lord touched his heart. The Lord touched that man's heart and brought him to his senses, like the old prodigal son there. It said he came to himself. He came to himself and said, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up. You ever read that story over there in Luke where the prodigal son, he was a second born of his father, and he told his daddy one day, he said, Father, go ahead and divide the stuff with me and give me mine now. He had a rebellious heart. Oh, my friend, nothing worse than a rebellious son. And the father did. He caught up all the cows and sheep and goats and whatever he had, divide them up and give him his part. And he went off, and the scripture said he spent all in righteous living. Not righteous living. No, not clean living. Righteous living. Hunted up all the brothels and those places. And it wasn't long before he began to be in want. And he found himself, joined himself to a farmer who raised hogs. And we all know that the Jewish people despised the hog raisers, hog farms, hogs. And he found himself feeding those hogs. And we don't know how long he was there. I believe he was there quite a while, mulling over his life, looking back at how well he had it at home. And then I believe he saw how he had sinned against his father. Every sinner who ever gets saved sees how he has sinned against his heavenly father. And it says he came to himself. One day he came to himself and he said, I'll rise and get up and go to my father. You want to talk about repentance? He repented right there in that hog pen. Oh, he took the blame. He said, how much does my father have? But he headed home. He headed home. And I think it was the old country boy. I think he lived out in the country. And he headed across them woods. I don't know how far he was, maybe 50 miles, 20 miles. But anyhow, he headed home. And I don't believe he stopped by the creek and got a bath, because I believe he still smelled like a hog. And when his father saw him, I believe every evening after he was gone, his dad went out on that front porch and looked way off into the sunset, looking for my boy, looking for my boy. One day he'll come home. He never gave up hope. And this particular day, he saw him coming. He saw him coming, dragging across that country. And he ran. It's the only place in God's word you will find where the Lord got in a hurry. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he wouldn't let him tell him nothing. He said, bring the best robe. Bring some shoes. You know why he brought the robe? Put it on him. Cover up that hog smell. Bring some shoes. Bring a ring. The ring signified he accepted him back into the family. All of those things. Go there and read that story, my friend, in Luke, about the prodigal son. And it'll bless your heart. And then, if you would, remember the old trailblazer. Pray for me. The Lord has been gracious to me, and I've had many problems, many trials. I do even today. But you pray for me. And pray for our folks here who are not saved. You say you got folks who are not saved. Yes, sir. And many out there in my radio audience is not saved. But the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And one scripture I want to leave with you said he waits to be gracious. Would you go look that verse up? And then remember the old trailblazer. Help me with the broadcast if you can. Pray for me. And remember my mailing address. It's the old trailblazer. Post office box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785. Goodbye and God bless you.